Welcome to our Christmas Eucharist. You need two things this evening, the red hymn book and then the small half sheet that will give you all your hymn numbers, as well as the text that we will be singing for the Gospel Acclamation, which is Go Tell It on the Mountain. I am going to invite kids to come up just before we do the Gospel Acclamation. There are some hand motions to Go Tell It on the Mountain. And if they want to come up and help me sing the Gospel Acclamation together, it'll be really, really fun. So please know that that will be a time that right after the readings that I'll encourage kids to come up and we'll quickly learn. It's pretty simple. And then David will play us through the acclamation. With that, let us just take a kind of a downbeat of quiet here to gather ourselves into this space, into God's presence, and into this community. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who shines in glory, clothes us in compassion, and bears gifts of mercy for all.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins with confidence in God's promise of forgiveness. God, wonderful counselor,
we confess that we have turned from your gifts and chosen our own way. We have not made room for you in our hearts or in our world. We have lived in fear. We have not loved the stranger. We desire gifts that will not endure. Forgive us our sins, known and unknown, and open us to receive the peace of Jesus, dwelling in and among us. Amen.
God's loving kindness has appeared to us in Christ our Savior. We are saved not by anything we have done, but by God's rich mercy poured out upon us. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Through the Spirit living in you, God gives you faith to trust Jesus. Who is love, born for you, now and always. Amen.
Thank you.
Emmanuel, God who is with us, be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. All-powerful and unseen God, the coming of your light into our world has brightened weary hearts with peace. Call us out of darkness and empower us to proclaim the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated as we now hear from our Holy Scriptures.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 62. Upon your walls, O Jerusalem, I have posted sentinels. All day and all night they shall never be silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest and give God no rest until Jerusalem is established and made renowned throughout the earth. Go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway, clear it of stones. Lift up an ensign over the peoples. The Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth. Say to daughter Zion, see, your salvation comes. God comes bearing the reward and preceded by the recompense. They shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. The second reading is from Titus chapter 3. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, we were saved, not because any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to God's mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit was poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by God's grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
All right, I invite kids to come up, because if you would like, you can help me sing the gospel acclamation. Well, all the adults will be singing the gospel acclamation. But I would love some kids' help with some of the motions. You ready? Okay. So we can kind of form a circle around the fire. Side, hearth, pit thing, I never know what to call it. Hello. All right, so the song goes like this. It says, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. All right? So first you're going to go like this. Go tell it on the mountain. So can you do that? You just make, like you're making a big megaphone with your hands. Go tell it on the mountain. Next part. Over the hills and everywhere. Can you do that? Over the hills and everywhere. I'm going to turn this microphone off. Go tell it on the mountain. So you do that again. And then it's that Jesus Christ. And you're going to make a cross. That Jesus Christ is born. Big finish. You got it?
Yeah.
All right, let's try it together. Here we go. Go tell it on the mountain. Over
everywhere.
This is the gospel according to John, the first chapter.
This is the gospel according to Luke, the second chapter.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people.
A decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. So Joseph went. Too much singing goes on.
I'm here for you.
That'd be great.
Joseph went from the town of Nazareth to the city of David called Bethlehem, and he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world.
And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son.
And the Word became flesh and lived among us.
In that region, an angel of the Lord stood before the shepherds in their field, and the glory of the Lord shone around them.
We have seen his glory.
The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord."
We have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son.
So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger.
And we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
And when the shepherds saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed.
We have seen his glory, full of grace and truth. What has come into being in him is life, and the life is the light of all people.
Word of God.
Word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Okay. So the whole Advent thing where we move from darkness to light. You know what? I set my hair on fire a couple days ago, so we're just going to move this. You think I'm kidding.
Looks great.
Thanks. It doesn't stink anymore, which is fantastic. So this whole Advent thing, moving from darkness to light, we love it, right? I mean, we start 4 weeks ago and you light one candle, and then the second week you light two candles, and then on Christmas we get to light all the candles, and we hold candles and we set the sanctuary ablaze with candles to proclaim basically that Jesus is born, right? We love this. It's great symbolism. It's fantastic. Only, and here's my concern, we end up slamming the dark. Think about it. It's like suddenly, because we love this whole transition from dark to light, that suddenly dark becomes bad or evil. And I think we're way too hard on darkness. I would actually argue that dark is not bad. Oh, we may have thought that we learned from a young age that darkness is bad, but dark is not bad. I was afraid of the dark, you say, as a child. Well, maybe you still are. The dark can be scary, but the dark is not actually what you're afraid of. Perhaps you're afraid of monsters underneath your bed, or spiders that might crawl into your mouth while you're snoring, right? Perhaps you're afraid that, at least we did in Wisconsin where we live, that bats might swoop overhead while you slumber. We fear the little bit that we know, but mostly we fear what we don't know. It's really not darkness that we're afraid of. In the very beginning, darkness came first, right? When we think about the creation narrative, darkness came first. In Genesis, we learned that darkness covered the face of the deep. And God creates light, right? Not to drown out the darkness. Please hear this. It says that God separated the darkness from the light. It's different. The light is called day and the darkness is called night. And what is the refrain of these different days within the Bible? God separates the darkness from the night and God calls it good, right? Not just the daylight part, but the darkness too. God called it all good. Incredible, miraculous things happen in the dark. Abraham, the great patriarch, is pulled out of his tent in the darkness of night, and he's asked to look up at the stars. And God says, "Do you see all those stars?" And Abraham says, "Yep." And God says, "Can you count all those stars?" And Abraham says, "Nope." And God says, "Well, that is how many your descendants will be." Darkness is where hope is born. God says, that's how many of you who are old and have not been able to bear a child. See those stars? That's how many your grandchildren will be. His grandson, Jacob, would make some pretty dark decisions, if you know the story of Jacob and his brother Esau. He tricked his dad and his brother Esau, which resulted in his needing to flee for his life. But did God just leave him for his trickery? No. God appears to him by night, not once, but twice that we know of in Scripture, and I'd be willing to bet it happened more often than that. God appears to Jacob by night, and it is in the dark that God gives Jacob the richest of blessings. And then Jacob's son Joseph gains power by interpreting the dreams of the Pharaoh that happen at night. Moses leads the people out of slavery into freedom by night. And manna, when they were out in the wilderness, the food that comes to them actually comes during the nighttime when they are all sleeping. Thick darkness reveals God's presence to Moses on Mount Sinai. And I could go on and on. And on. We need not be afraid of the dark because incredible, miraculous things happen in the dark. Currently, one of my favorite authors, Barbara Brown Taylor, has written a book that is my absolute favorite of sort of the three that are in her loose kind of memoir. The third one is called Learning to Walk in the Dark. And she says, if you want to learn to walk in the dark, you need to give up on running the show. Can we do that as human beings? We need to give up on running the show. You'll need to be willing to bump into things that scare you. How ready are we willing to do that? And you will need to ask the darkness to teach you what you need to know. So you need to give up running the show. You need to be willing to bump into things that scare you. And you need to ask the darkness to teach you. To be able to walk in the darkness, she says that we have to let curiosity kind of take place of evasion, right? Sort of our fearful kind of need to walk away. Instead, we change that to curiosity, letting wonder take over our fears. She tells this fabulous story. She was new to farm life, I think relatively new when she was writing this book. And she found that one of her favorite activities was moving young chickens from one pen to the other. Anybody in here done this? I grew up in Chicago, so I had no idea what she was talking about. So you may know this, but this was news to me. She says that you can try and move chickens during the daytime, but it's not pretty. She says trying to catch wide awake chickens, she says they'll scream and they'll fling themselves against the chicken wire. They'll crash into each other and lose their feathers. They basically threaten to die right in front of you. But, she says, if you move them at night, well, it's all like they've had a couple martinis, and life is just fantastic, she says. They chuckle at each other, and they coo, and they move through the chicken coop like life is great. They turn their heads to get a better look at you as you're coming to scoop them up. She says that you can even tuck like four or five of them into your apron, and the others just wait patiently for you to come right back. Weird, right? I think of perhaps how darkness can steady us in some strange ways. I mean, think of all the appearances in the Christmas story of angels, right? To Joseph in a dream when he was told that he needed to take Mary as his wife. We don't know. I guess I've always imagined that the angel came to Mary at nighttime. I suppose it could have been in the middle of the day because Scripture doesn't tell us. But we know that the angels came to the shepherds at night. So it's because they were keeping watch by their flocks at night. It says it right in Scripture, yeah. So these amazing angelic moments happen in darkness, and it says that they were afraid, right? We know that that's kind of an intimidating thing to have an angel come to you. But instead of running around like scared chickens of the daylight in the darkness, even when still so much of what was happening to them was unknown, so much of what they were being invited to was beyond their control, instead of fleeing, they held their ground and they moved into God's angelic invitation. They stood face to face with darkness and decided to enter into it. They entered in, not to someplace ethereal and make-believe, but they entered into the gritty core of what life offers, right? A manger stall. Think of the earthy smell of animals and their pungent-smelling food. Mary and Joseph and shepherds entered into homelessness and the fringes of society. But please hear in this story, it is not just the humans willing to enter into this dark quarter of life, but God also enters into this dark corner. God and all the heavenly hosts entered the dim stench of humanity and honored it. Christmas is about the incarnation. The incarnation is a fancy word that we use for this idea of God putting on flesh. Carne, that's that word for meat, flesh in there. Incarnation is God putting on our human form. And God did not stay separate from us. God intimately comes into our existence and understands it inside out. And for me, that means that we can no longer look upon anything in our earthly existence and call it bad. Even tired little ones. Hi. You're okay. Let him wiggle. He's good. Hi, Lucky. Okay, see you later. Have fun. There's nothing that we can look at in the world around us and call it bad. God has entered into all of it and transformed it. French philosopher Teilhard de Chardin believes that the fullness of Christ, the universality of Christ, that God has physically, and he uses this word, impregnated the universe through Christ. I mean, we heard Chuck reading the Gospel of John. There's not sort of a traditional birth narrative that you find in other Gospels in John. It's sort of this lovely poetry, and it says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, and all things came into being through the Word, capital W. And we now know that word to be Jesus. Chardin says that the material world is holy and sacred. All things have come into being through Christ. Through grace, the presence of the incarnate word penetrates everything. Every leaf, flower, tree, rabbit, fish, and star, Chardin says. The world is like a crystal lamp, illuminated from within by the light of Christ. Now, you got questions about how God does all this? Me too. Are there things in this world that feel dark, out of control, and that make you afraid? Me too. But here's the thing. Again and again and again, I see God is able to bring about life in the midst of these dark scenarios, right? In the midst of our questions, in the midst of our critique, the things of this world that rage with injustice, all these things within them, God is stirring and bringing about life in the midst of the chaos. We need not be afraid of the dark. Incredible, miraculous things happen in the dark. Sometimes I wonder whether darkness exists so that we might find a place of trust, almost in spite of ourselves, that we might find a place where we can give up running the show, where we can find a place where we're willing to bump into things that scare us, a place where we can find courage to ask what it is that the darkness wants to teach us. And we can do this. It takes a little bit of courage, perhaps. We can do this. We can find a place and decide that we will enter something that feels unsure, unknown. We can decide that we are willing to fall headlong into the mystery of it all. Even where it seems that perhaps just hours earlier we had wanted to scream and fling ourselves about and lose our feathers. But now, somehow, in this place that we've allowed ourselves to enter into, this dark place, we're able to somehow chuckle and coo as God comes toward us. She comes to us and she scoops us up into our apron and she carries us to a new home, a new way of being in the world more fully, feeling at home as we are infused with God's presence. That, after all, is the promise of Christmas. That in the midst of our raw humanity, in the midst of things that feel dark and scary, that is precisely where God is striving amidst the chaos and creating something new. New life happens in the dark of a mother's womb. New life happens in the dark of a rock-hewn tomb. Darkness is not bad, but it is a mysterious companion as we face that which is stirring within us, making itself ready to be born. Amen.
Thank you. Let us pray. On this, the day of Christ's holy birth, we bring our prayers to you, O God, for the church and for all the needs of the world. We pray for the church that you would raise up voices to proclaim the gospel in all its inclusivity, and that you would raise up lives that witness to your great love. We pray for the earth, your beloved creation in our fragile home. May we be lovingly wise with its resources, honoring them as you would have us honor our own bodies. We pray for those who govern and for all in authority. Mute their selfishness and insecurity and ground them in the wisdom that surrounds them. Raise up influencers to bring about lasting peace in the land of Jesus' birth. We pray for innkeepers and travelers, for those who must work on this day. We remember those whose needs for food and shelter depend on the generosity of others, and we ask that you surround them with your provision. We pray for those who are in difficulty or trouble, for those without family or companionship. We pray for those living without hope, and for the sick. And if there are names of those which you wish to lift up now, you're welcome to do so either aloud or quietly. That the fullness of Christ will shine on all of us, and that comfort and hope will take place of suffering and despair. We pray for this community, that through word and song, all who participate in worship may encounter more deeply the good news of Jesus Christ. And pondering the mystery of your love, we offer our prayers in the name of Christ, the Word made flesh. Amen. The peace of God who is with us be at home with you. And also with you. Patrick, didn't I? Let's share a word of peace with one another. post-high school adults with disabilities get life skills and education and community and all that they need. So 100% of the offering goes to that organization. Let us now continue to worship with our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Holy God, your beauty shines forth from the manger and your love flows from the cross. As you gather us around these signs of your love, come among us. Warm us to extend your care among the hungry and all who are in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you as you're able to please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praises.
Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, we praise and glorify you, we worship and adore. You formed the earth from chaos. You encircled the globe with air. You created fire for warmth and light. You nourished the lands with water, and you molded us in your image. And with mercy higher than the mountains, with grace deeper than the seas, you gave us your Son, and you call us through the life and love of Jesus. That in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and he broke it. He gave it to his disciples saying, take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and he gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. With this bread and cup, we remember your Son, the firstborn of your new creation. We remember his life lived for others and his death and resurrection, which renews the face of the earth. We await his coming when, with the world made perfect through your wisdom, all our sins and sorrows will be no more. Send now upon us and this meal your Holy Spirit, whose breath revives us for life. Enfold in your arms all who share this holy food, that we may be filled with the joy to the world through whom all the glory and honor is yours, O God, O living one, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Again, you're invited to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us as you feel most comfortable. God in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Amen. Kindle the power of the Lord. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Our desire is that there be no barriers between you and this feast that Jesus offers. So please know that you are welcome here, and it is Jesus who invites you to come. You may be seated, and again, just to remind you, there will be a number of us standing up here just so that there's no dietary issues that would perhaps keep you from taking in this communion meal. So the first is a container for gluten-free, and you can just go ahead and take one of those. Otherwise, you can come to me for bread, and I'll break off a piece for you. There's an open cup here where you can either dip the bread in or drink. Otherwise, you can take a cup, and then wine or juice will be poured, and then the final station is an open basket where you can place your empty cup. Come to the table where Christ meets you. Eat, rejoice, and be glad.
We sing hymn
300 3 0 0.
Mm-hmm.
279.
Thank you.
And now may the fullness of Jesus' presence in this world bless you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. God of wonder, in Jesus we behold the light of the world come near. As you have come among us now, send us out in joy, hastening to share the good news of your love. We ask this in the name of Jesus, through the Spirit dwelling among us, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We stand to join in singing our closing hymn, Joy to the World. Savior who is born for you, and the life-giving Spirit who shines on you, bless you and keep you in hope and peace. Amen. Go in peace. Share the joy of Christ. Thanks be to God.